Praise be our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, today in the Franciscan Order, we celebrate the memory of Saint Agnes, a virgin and the sister of Saint Clare, an important figure historically and in the history particularly of the Poor Clares. Before speaking about her life, however, I just would like to tie in with the gospel today, which may be somewhat shocking to hear these words out of our Lord's mouth. Of course, he's referring to the king, but the king is a figure of himself. As for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me. We tend, particularly in our present day, to focus on the mercy of Christ, and rightfully so. Christ came here and died for us to save us, and there is no greater act of mercy that could be done. But in his mercy, he did not ever abandon justice, and I think the words of our Lord here are as a warning to all to not take lightly the gift we've been given. And this is a variation on the parable that we heard, I believe it was on Sunday, or we heard it in the last few days, of the talents. And here it's a little different. It's one gold coin that earns 10 and one gold coin that earns 5 and the one that wasn't invested. Our Lord, in giving us the gift of faith, has given us a gold coin that he wants us to do something with, not simply to keep it to ourselves. This is a parable of our Lord's expectation of evangelization, that we take our faith, whatever we have, and multiply it, first in ourselves. If we have little faith, we have to ask for more and make it grow with our effort to love God. And then, as we grow in faith, also to spread the kingdom. Jesus came to save everyone, not just us. And so he's given us faith, and we have to help others come to the faith. Saint Agnes did this in her life, perhaps in a way that she could not have foreseen, but in her fidelity and in her love, she followed Christ. And Christ multiplied in her his gifts, and through her expanded the kingdom of God. St. Agnes, as I said, was the sister of St. Clare. And in fact, she's the younger sister. I don't know how many years younger, but she was only 14 when she decided to follow St. Clare. St. Clare had that experience. She had to basically run away from home because her father wasn't approving and didn't approve of Agnes either leaving. Agnes, after just 16 days after Clare left, she decided to follow. And the father was enraged with her decision and went with a company of relatives to forcefully bring her back home. So they went to the convent and forcefully grabbed her. He was actually dragging her by her hair when suddenly Agnes became fixed to the spot and they couldn't budge her. And her uncle was so angry that he drew his sword, not to kill her, but he was going to beat her with it. Before he could move, his arm was, he had a pain so great that he dropped the sword. He couldn't act, and everyone was filled with fear, and the party fled. And Agnes was able to return with joy to be with St. Clair and to follow God's will. In this, there's also a lesson. God's will should be always supreme in our lives. And at times, this will create even a conflict within the family. Most parents would probably be alarmed if their 14-year-old daughter fled home. However, it appears that the father did not properly discern. And in fact, St. Clair wasn't acting on simple, natural, fraternal attachment to her sister. There might have been some element in that of a natural impulse to want to be with the sister, but clearly this was a sign from God, this mystical happening where she became fixed to the spot and grown men couldn't move her, and then the pain in the arm of the uncle and the fear that gripped the group clearly was an act of God. St. Clair then continued to follow, St. Agnes continued to follow Clair and in the life, and she regarded her sister as more than just a sister. This is evident from the letter, which is included in the Divine Office today in the second reading. This is how she refers to her sister. She opens, "Agnes, humble and least handmaid of Christ, to her venerable mother and mistress, the most distinguished and beloved in Christ, Lady Clair, and her entire community." So we can gather from these words that her relationship with Clair has been elevated, and she regards, rightfully, because she's now a professed religious consecrated to God, she sees in Clair the superior, a mother and a mistress, so no longer just her sister. Saint Agnes acted on this impulse, which was the call of her vocation. And as I said, there might have been some natural fraternal motive involved in that. But Agnes suffered for her Lord to be united to her spouse, Jesus Christ. And so she had to give up even that attachment to Clair. And this also, she expresses in her letter, we can understand. This is what she said. "Know therefore, my mother," afterwards, just to explain the context, she was, St. Francis recognized also in Agnes great holiness, and despite her young age was sent to open various other monasteries. And so she's writing from another location. "Know therefore, my mother, that it is a very great tribulation and immense sorrow for me, physically and spiritually, and that I am immeasurably weighed down and afflicted and almost unable to speak, because I am bodily separated from you and the rest of my sisters, with whom I believed I would live in this life and die. My tribulation indeed has its beginning, but knows no end." So, heartfelt words to her sister, to her mother, her spiritual mother, a sign of what she gave and suffered to be true to God. And as the true servant handmaiden, she multiplies the talent, she multiplies the gold coin that she's been given, that gift of faith and love. And through her, many other virgins came to follow the spirituality of St. Francis, that Franciscan spirit, which is what the church today wants us to ask for in celebrating this memory of Saint Agnes. The seraphic spirit consists of a heart which seeks and sees God in all things and is bent on spending itself for his honor and using all things to glorify him. This seraphic spirit takes its name from the seraphim, angelic beings who are always on fire with love for God. And this love of God is recognizable in all the Franciscan saints. Just this month in November, we're celebrating 8 saints' feast days, saints of the Franciscan order. So it's a sign of great favor from God that this way of life embraced by St. Francis, by St. Clare, by St. Agnes, and so many others is pleasing to God and effective in helping one to fulfill God's will and to give him glory and to spread the kingdom. Let us pray through the intercession of St. Agnes that we ourselves may be more faithful, more generous in following God's will, and that many young women will recognize their vocation to love Jesus above all things and follow him if it be his will to sacrifice the joys and comforts of a natural vocation and to embrace the cross and fulfill a supernatural calling if they have it. And that parents be courageous and generous in allowing their children to follow God's call. Praise be Jesus and Mary.